Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works." I want to share with you verse 24 from the Amplified. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to be My disciple, let him deny himself, that is, disregard, lose sight, and forget himself and his own interest, and take up his cross and follow Me. That is, cleave steadily to Me, conform wholly to My example in living, and if need be, in dying also." The date, March 10th, 1974. On that date, a significant event took place on the tropical island of Lubang in the Philippines. That's the day that Lieutenant Hiro Onoda handed over his rusty sword and became the last Japanese soldier to surrender almost 30 years after the end of World War II. Onoda had been sent to the Philippines in 1944. The orders given to him were very simple, and those orders were to conduct guerrilla warfare and to prevent the enemy from taking over the island that he was on. He was also ordered not to take his own life, not to kill himself. Now, long after his fellow soldiers had either surrendered or been killed, Onoda continued defending Lubang for the defeated Japanese army. You may have seen his story when it aired on the History Channel some time ago. He moved from place to place in the jungle. He stayed on the constant run. He stole food and supplies from local citizens. Onoda evaded one search party after another, year after year. He killed at least 30 Filipinos as he continued what he considered to be his duty to his emperor. Leaflets, newspapers, photographs, and letters from friends were dropped on the jungle, hopefully that he would find them, read them, and convince him, he'd be convinced, that is, that the war had ended and it was time to give up the fight. Announcements were made over loudspeakers begging Lieutenant Onoda to surrender. Listen to this, nearly 13,000 men were deployed in an attempt to locate him. Finally, his former commander was brought to see if he could help. And he issued an order over a loudspeaker for Onoda to surrender. In response to that order, Onoda walked out of the jungle and gave up. In his biography entitled No Surrender, My 30-Year War, Hiro Onoda describes the moment that the reality of what had taken place began to sink in. He said, "I felt like a fool. What had I been doing all of these years? For the first time, I really understood. This was the end. I pulled back the bolt on my rifle, unloaded the bullets, I eased the pack that I'd always carried on my back and laid the rifle on that pack." Now, for Onoda, the war was finally over. 30 years. He was there on that island fighting for the Japanese who had been defeated in 1945. Now, Hiro Onoda died in January of 2014 at the age of 91. How did the Japanese respond to him? They considered him to be a national hero. It would be so easy for all of us to say, well, what an absolute fool that man was. He was so deceived. How utterly ridiculous not to have given up and surrendered earlier. Believe it or not, there's a lesson for every Christian in what happened in the life of Hiro Onoda. He finally made an unconditional surrender to those who were in authority over him. Now, how many Christians have given up the fight to control their lives, their own lives, and made an unconditional surrender to the one who has authority over them? My friend, the words that we find in the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done," they're so easy to say. I mean, it's so simple to say, "Father, thy will be done." But let me ask you this question today. Have you reached that point in your life that every day, in every way, you want your Heavenly Father's will and His will alone to be done in every area of your life? Let me assure every person here in this auditorium and every person viewing this message on the internet, only one thing that Holy God wants from you and me is this. The only thing He wants our unconditional surrender. He wants our unconditional surrender. Nothing else but that will satisfy Him. Watchman Nee was a great Chinese church leader and a marvelous Christian teacher. I've got a number of his books in my library. In one of his books, The Spiritual Man, Watchman Nee wrote these words, "God never obeys us. He is pleased with nothing but our obeying Him." And that is obeying His will. However noble and grand and indispensable something may appear to be, the only thing that matters is doing His will. Now, you can try as hard as you can, Christian, about pleasing the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. It's never going to happen as you hold on tenaciously to your own life. I mean, the bottom line is this. The only way to really be acceptable to God is unconditional surrender. To live the surrendered life. Now, that's the kind of life our Lord lived. And that's the kind of life that all of us who are Christians are to live. Jesus said, "For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." I ask you, Christian, are you doing the will of your Heavenly Father today? What is your life all about? Who's number one? Who's sitting on the throne of your heart right now? Is it self? Or is it, as it should be, the Lord Jesus Christ? I saw a church sign that said this, "God wants full custody, not just weekend visits. He wants you to be His every single day." Now, Christian, can you say this morning, honestly say, "My life is about doing the will of my Father. That's all that matters to me." I mean, have you ever waved the white flag and made an unconditional surrender to the Lord. Now there are at least two things that an unconditional surrender means in the life of a believer. Number one, unconditional surrender means relinquishment. Now what's relinquishment mean, Pastor? It means the act of giving up. The act of abandoning to someone else. In this case, giving up to Holy God and allowing Him to be the absolute Lord of your life. The Lord Jesus Christ to sit on the throne of your heart. Now, Webster's Dictionary defines surrender this way. To yield or resign to the power of another. To submit, to admit defeat, to give in, to capitulate, or to voluntarily give up a right, a privilege, or an advantage. Now, the matter of surrender revolves only around one issue in our lives. And here it is. Who is going to be in control? Who is going to be in charge? And that's where the rub comes in the lives of so many Christians. For they want to be in control. They say, I'm willing to give God some areas of my life, but not all of them. I want Him, His will to be done here and here and here, but not here. This belongs to me. Now listen to me, Christian. There is no such thing as half-hearted surrender to God. In His eyes, no such thing as surrendering 50%. No such thing as surrendering 75%. The only thing that matters to God is 100% unconditional surrender to Him. If anyone desires to come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Don't forget what the cross means. Doesn't mean an infected big toenail. It doesn't mean lumbago. It doesn't mean back trouble of some kind. It means death. The cross means death. Death to what? Death to self-life and embracing the Christ life. Letting Jesus be who He is in your life. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, folks, there must be a daily surrender to the Lordship of Jesus in every area of our lives. We must say, Your will be done, not my will. Now, many believers are convinced, listen to this, many believers are convinced that unconditional surrender is just too costly. I mean, they're afraid that the God who loved them, the God who saved them, if they give it all up to Him, He's going to cheat them out of the good life. Can you imagine such a thing? But the fact is, resistance is much more costly than relinquishment. To put it another way, the unsurrendered life will never be as blessed as the surrendered life. And what I'm saying to you, you are robbing yourself, Christian, of God's richest blessings and God's marvelous peace if you're choosing a life of my will rather than a life of His will. And something else you need to know, and listen carefully. Whatever you're not willing to put under the control of God is going to exercise control over you. You say, I just can't surrender this thing to God, Pastor. Well, get ready, because you're going to live under the bondage of that thing, whatever it is. It may be finances. It may be an unwholesome habit. It may be family. It may be some behavior that is totally contrary to God's Word. It may be a goal that leaves the Lord's will for your life out of the picture. It may be something else, something you consider too precious to give up for Christ's sake. Whatever it is, it's going to be lording over your life. It is going to lord it over your life. I'll say again, it's going to be a controlling factor in your life. And letting go of it, people are afraid if they let go of this thing, whatever it is, it's going to cost their freedom. But the fact of the matter is, it's when you do let go of that very thing that's controlling you, whatever it is, it's the thing that's going to set you free by saying, I surrender, Lord, I surrender it to you. Now, many people stubbornly declare, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to submit to anyone, and I'm not going to submit to anything. Well, let me tell you what the truth is. The truth is that everyone alive at this very moment is submitting to someone or something. And I say to you, if it's not the Lord you're submitted to, then no matter what it is, it's the wrong thing. Unconditional surrender means relinquishment. And relinquishment is a lifetime endeavor. There comes a moment when a believer really does business with God. Father, I'm ready here and now to put my will under the authority of your will. I want your will to be done in every area of my life as long as I live. And the act of a moment becomes the journey of a lifetime. By that I mean that committing ourselves and surrender to the Lord is a continual process that we must take in our life. In other words, it's not surrender once and for always. It's surrender daily. It's surrender hourly. It's surrender moment by moment. It's surrender one decision to another decision. And every Christian ought to begin every new morning with a fresh surrender to the Lord. We ought to pray like this. Father, this is a new day. My life is like a blank page. Now, Lord, write what you want written on the page of my life today. Let your will be done and not mine. One believer said this. Throughout the day, I make it a practice to say, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, yes. He said, I do that as a reminder to myself that I want His will to be my will. Now, it could be that there was a time when you were living a surrendered life. Could be that there was a time when you were really on fire for the Lord. You had a zeal to do the will of God, but something went wrong. And today, surrender is a thing of the past in your life. You are serving self instead of serving the Lord. Well, this is the day to do something about it. I urge you to bring your surrender up to date. Remember, God requires nothing less than unconditional surrender. And unconditional surrender means relinquishment. But it also means something else. And that is, unconditional surrender means receiving several wonderful rewards. One of them I've already mentioned. It's the reward of freedom from bondage. More specifically, it is the freedom from the bondage of having to try to control our own lives. Trying to control all the details in our lives every day is a miserable way to exist. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, there's always something else that's got to be done. It stifles our joy. It robs us of peace and victory. I mean, we can never be sure that things will work out how we want them to work out. And that's really what's not important. It is not how we want things to work out that matters. It is how the Lord wants them to work out. The surrendered life is a fulfilling and victorious life because it is a trusting life. It involves letting go and trusting the Lord to work out everything according to His will and His plan. It is affirming, God, You know best about this situation. I know I can always count on You. And I know I can count on You to work out things for my good and Your glory. All I want is one thing. Your will be done. Now folks, if that's not freedom, I don't know what is. I mean, how can we be bound up by anything in our lives if we've turned everything over to the Lord in surrender? Do you want to know who you are? Do you want to know what you're doing on this earth today? Do you want to live a meaningful life rather than virtually a life that has no meaning at all? If you answer, Pastor, that's yes, I want to live a meaningful life, then right here and right now, give up. Give up once and for all trying to run your own life and make a total surrender to the Lord. A third reward of unconditional surrender. Listen to this one. Intimacy with God. If you sealed off part of your life and you put a keep out sign on that part of your life, let me tell you what you've accomplished. You've done nothing but erected a barrier to intimacy and deep fellowship with God. It's not the unsurrendered who have a holy walk with holy God. It is those who have surrendered to Him. And it's those who said, yes, Lord, You be in charge. They are the ones who experience His power and His glory. Did you know God wants you to experience His power and His glory? But God didn't make you a wind-up robot who's going to do everything He wants you to do. You've got choices to make. And remember, I like to say, we live and die on the basis of the choices we make. And the right choice is unconditional surrender. If you truly want to know the Lord, if you want more out of life as a Christian than just muddling through as the days go quickly passing by, if you want to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, if you want your life to count for the Lord, if you have a hunger to be more than just another carnal believer, then determine that you're going to live the surrendered life rather than the self life. And don't have any concern about whether or not you'll be able to get it done. Because I've got good news for you. What I shared to you recently, let me share it again. The Bible says that what God requires us to do, He empowers us to do. The Bible says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. So it's not doing it in the flesh. I'm just trying to do my best for Jesus. All you're going to do is keep running into one wall after another. It's letting go and letting God have His way in your life. Now, when God sees that we mean business about commitment to surrender, here's what He does. He moves in His own mighty way to make it a living reality in our lives. One Sunday afternoon, way back in the spring of 1951, a young couple talked, and as they visited with each other there in their home, they suddenly realized something. They realized that knowing and serving the Lord Jesus Christ is the most important pursuit in life. Nothing is more important than knowing Jesus and serving Him. So in the living room of their home that day, they knelt together and they prayed a heartfelt prayer. Lord, we surrender our lives to You to do Your will. We want to serve You with all of our hearts for the rest of our lives. Then they wrote and signed a contract. They signed that contract committing their whole lives to the Lord. In the contract, they relinquished all their rights. They relinquished all their possessions. They relinquished everything that they could ever own to the one that they called our dear Lord and Master. That afternoon, in their own words, they became voluntary slaves of Jesus. Now, once that contract was signed, there was no turning back. Decades later, Bill and Vonette Bright had become household names. And some of you might not know who they are now because they're both with the Lord. But I'll tell you, I remember the organization that they established, Campus Crusade for Christ. And they had ministries on campuses across the world. It was the worldwide declaration of gospel, of the gospel that went on, that was birthed out of their commitment to the Lord in an act of unconditional surrender. Now, in 2011, Campus Crusade changed its name to CRU, C-R-U. There were two reasons for that. One was that their ministry was no longer limited to just university campuses across the world. The other was they had a ministry operating where Muslims lived and was the primary religion that was there. And they thought the word crusade might be a negative word to the Muslims who remembered the crusades that took place in history. So they called themselves CRU. And today, well, at the last facts I found about them were 2020. In 2020, they had 19,000 staff members. They had staff members in 191 countries across the world, and they had thousands of volunteers. It has become the largest organization of Christians in history. Campus Crusade for Christ, which is now called CRU. Now, when Dr. Bright was diagnosed with terminal cancer, he made it known that the only epitaph that he and his wife wanted on their tombstones was "Slaves of Jesus Christ." Dr. Bright died on October the 15th, 2003. He went home to be with the Lord that he had served so faithfully. Vonette, his wife, she went to be with the Lord December the 23rd in 2015. Now, slaves of Jesus Christ, that is the epitome of the surrendered life. Completely committed to the Lord and to His will, no matter what the cost. What greater epitaph could be written about any one of God's children than that? Now, to be sure, the pathway of surrender is not always an easy one. But as I've already said, it's the only one that pleases the glorious and almighty God that those of us who are Christians can call our Father. The old hymn says it so well. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Now, I recognize that this sermon has been aimed primarily at those of you who already know Jesus Christ. But I want to say, if you've never trusted in Jesus and received Him as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right here today in this auditorium, or if you're out there, wherever you are in the world, you can do it wherever you're viewing this message. And I want to help you to receive Him. And I want you as a Christian, as we stand together, let's stand, I want you to talk to the Lord while you're there, have your private prayer time, and you tell Him, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I surrender to you. If you haven't trusted Christ, this is your moment. Just pray this simple prayer with me wherever you are. Pray these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I have done wrong, sinned in the sight of Holy God many, many times across my life. But Jesus, right here and right now, I repent. I turn away from sin, and I turn to you. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you took my place on the cross of Calvary, and you paid the penalty for all of my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. From this day forth, by your grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will live for you as the Lord of my life. I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me on the cross. I thank you, Jesus, for paying the penalty for all of my sins. And I thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. I am now yours, and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me just say this to those who are viewing this message. Wherever you are, you prayed and received Christ, then you've just been born again. You become a new creation in Jesus Christ. And I urge you to find a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church and make a commitment to the Lord there publicly and follow Him in believer's baptism. And I tell you this, on the authority of God's Word and my own personal experience, I will say to you, you will never regret the decision you've made, the greatest decision you could ever make in your life.